Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth drama.
Welcome to Smooth Drama. It's your host, Dick Hugger. I hope everybody had a happy holiday weekend. I'm sure the majority of y'all did. And if you didn't, don't worry. Sun come up tomorrow. You can make it up this week. That's the beauty of it all. Anyway, if you want to holler at me, phone number is 646-929-2037. Once again, if you want to holler at me, because I, of course, want to holler at you, number is 646-929-2037. And, as always, if you're too shy to call, you can email me, dick@smoothdrama.com, and I will read what you emailed me. Once again, you want to email me comments, questions, concerns, criticisms, whatever. I'm good. Dick@smoothdrama.com. I got you. Also, if you just happen to be on Blog Talk listening, you want to get in on it, you can go ahead on and jump into the Blog Talk chat room. Or if you just so happen to be lucky enough, in honor, and well, it'd be my honor, but privileged enough to see my face that's made for radio on that Smooth Drama TV live stream. Feel free to jump in, chime in any one of those chat rooms. And also, to keep up with current events and what's going on, you can feel free to text the word Smooth Drama to the number 41411 from your mobile device or devices. You know, I know a lot of y'all is blinging like that. We all deviced up. Once again, with one of your many devices, you can text the word Smooth Drama to the number 41411 so you can catch up with what we got happening, special events, whatnot. And I just got a little message from my main man, Black Steel. He'll be coming on tonight with a special announcement. So be looking out for that here in a little bit. Also, just getting started, I know most of y'all know the artist known as Tina Marie passed away. And tonight we're gonna play a couple of my favorite songs. May not have been yours, but you know, Tina Marie was one of those albums that, well, not albums, one of those artists that put out albums that meant something. You know, she sung about love and heartbreak and good times and party music. I mean, she was a versatile artist and she could sing her ass off. You know, she was a true soul singer. And we gonna throw some love out to the cosmos for Tina Marie tonight. But who we're not gonna throw some love out there to is these people who put shit out there falsely. I don't know if anybody's keeping up. There's an internet rumor that Aretha Franklin had passed away. And what's sad about that is the fact that people, I mean, it's been rumored that she has cancer. Well, it's not rumored, but it's out there that she has pancreatic cancer. And so it's out there, and I mean, there was a guy who actually was a so-called friend of hers. I'm not going to say his name because, you know, people like that shouldn't get any name coverage at all. But he recorded her conversation while she was sick in the hospital, while he was live on the air. And, you know, I mean, far be it from me to criticize. Well, not far be it, because I'm gonna talk shit about the motherfucker anyway. There are some places you don't go for entertainment. Now, if you so-called friend, I y'all know my co-host had gone through some physical ailments, and it wasn't something that I'd be talking about for the betterment of the show. Yeah, I just don't believe in that shit. And I think that if you're one of them people who believe in shit like that, you ain't shit. I'm sorry. I know I'm cussing. And I'm just saying that there are some places you don't go. And the whole death rumors for Aretha Franklin, even to a point where somebody posted something up on one of these sites, like an article, Aretha Franklin has died. And so it started a little mini internet, Twitter, text, you know, folks, oh, Aretha Franklin died. You know, I'm like, damn, you know, Tina Marie died and then Aretha Franklin died, like right after. I was like, this is a terrible weekend. But come to find out that it's a hoax. And I'm like, who makes up shit like that? I mean, what do you, how, I know people profit off of death. I get that. I don't get it, but I get it. Yeah, the whole artist selling albums after the fact, you know, we done seen that with Biggie, Tupac, Michael Jackson recently. There's profit in death. It's sick shit, but I guess I get it. But this, where's the profit? What do you gain from this? Hey, you know, I think that the individual who did this is a sad, sad individuals. You are the scum of the earth. And, you know, hopefully, every day when you walk out, I hope that bird shit on you. I really do. I mean, I'm not going to wish no death on you, but I can't wish that bird shit on you and dogs piss on you and you step in dog shit or whatever when you walk out the house. I can wish that on you. That's not life-threatening or anything like that. And I hope that it's something where you have your mouth open and the shit just falls into your mouth. That's how I feel about people that do that kind of stuff. It's terrible. I mean, sort of like in Philly, speaking of false, you know, right now there's a serial killer that's stalking women in Philadelphia. And, you know, of course that, you know, it's a little crazy. You know, people, when you hear about serial killers, people out killing whatnot, I mean, it heightens the awareness and people are in frantic mode. So what happens? This foul individual posted falsely, saying that a man was the Philadelphia Strangler. And she posted his picture on Facebook. The post contained the picture. It listed his address, contact information. You know? And, of course, it's the internet. Right after the posting, homie's got a gathering of people outside his house, for which he had to call the police. So he called the police. The police, and this is even worse. The police escort him to the city's special victims unit, where he was interviewed, and his DNA was compared with samples taken from the scene of the killings. Now, of course, because the story we're talking about it is false, it wasn't him. But the fact that the man had to be violated like that because somebody had a grudge against him. You know, and I guess that's that whole thing about a woman's scorn, whatnot. And I guess some people would think it's cool. I think it's kind of trifling. I don't know about anybody else, but and that saying that I'm a serial killer, posting the shit on Facebook for millions of people to see, and have your neighbors looking at you like you're a serial killer, and have them mob up, and then you have to call the police, who subsequently take you down and get your DNA and test you for the shit. I don't think people understand how humiliating that is, but it is. It's a terrible thing to happen to somebody. And then when you're talking about that it was something that was false allegation because a woman has, women had a grudge against him. I mean, for me, I would sue the hell out of her. I mean, that's almost something where I'd have to get, you know, get a voodoo spell out there, and, you know, wish the voodoo throw a hoodoo on her. That's horrible. Horrible. But I guess it goes back to what I've said for a minute now. People think because we have technology that for some strange reason we're smarter nowadays. No, we're not smarter. People are still dumb as hell. They just have access to technology now. So what it is you have stupid-ass people with the ability to do more dumb shit. That's it. And they have more access. I mean, because dumb asses can just put it out there. I mean, we see some of the internet posts. And like I said, I'm an online radio talk show host. So I understand, you know, people, we're in it. We want to be heard. People want to be heard. I mean, and we have groups. You have internet groups. People talk, whatnot. But when people do dumb shit like that in the name of whatever the hell it was in the name of, it's sickening. You know, I mean, we need a little bit more love in the air. We don't have enough love going. I know people say love is soft, and you know, you hear it all the time. Love is soft. When you talk about love, people think that you're on some simp shit. There's something wrong with you. You know, we got the whole nice guy thing going, but people, y'all should look at love and being loving. I mean, this is y'all time of year. Right? This is y'all time of year, right? The loving time of year. I'm just saying. Well, on that note, we're going to go into first Tina Marie song. This is one of my favorites. Young Love. Tina Marie.
Ooh. Yeah.
One of my favorite songs. I remember my Tina Marie experiences on the weekends when my grandmother would come over, and they, her and my mother, my other aunties, uncles, played different music from B.B. King, Bobby Blue Bland, and Tina Marie was in the mix, Stevie Wonder, and listening to all that good weekend, good music over the weekend. Well, mostly Saturday evening, Saturday night. Little kids trapped in the house, but now you have appreciation. You know, good music. You know, it's kind of funny because it was a reciprocation when I had King Midas from HISD on here, and he was talking about when he used to ride in my car when he was young and listening to the music, and that influenced him. And so I guess it's one of those generational things where every generation, you know, you never know when you're influencing people with good music. And you know, I just so happened to be fortunate enough to have parents who had taste in music. So that's just a good thing. And got to enjoy Miss Tina Marie and her beautiful music. And of course, I will continue to listen to her music because, as we know, music lasts forever. It stands forever. And, you know, good music is timeless. And so we put some more love out in the cosmos to Tina Marie, who actually, her real name, because Tina Marie was her stage name, real name was Mary Christine Rockert. She was survived by her daughter, Aaliyah Rose. So we send our condolences out to the Rockert family. Well, just know that she put out good music and music that touched people. And it's one of those things, it's a comedic tradition that if you want to honor someone, you keep saying their name, because saying their name and having their name out in writing, whatnot, means that their spirit will last forever. So we're giving Tina Marie or Ms. Brockert a proper comedic send-off. And speaking of giving the send-off, got my main man Black still in the house. What's going on, man?
What's up with you, Dick Hugger?
Just cool. Just giving a shout out to Tina Marie.
Yeah, man, we lost a great, man. We lost a legend. We lost somebody that you know, made an imprint in the music industry. And hey, she gonna be missed.
Yeah, I mean, and you know what's funny is you don't think about it. Because you don't think about the greats until it's like you just so happen to hear it, a song, somebody's playing a song, or you're watching a TV show and the song is in the soundtrack or whatnot, and then you just start thinking about how great that she was. And, you know, when you're talking about great musicians and her being a musician, writer, and singer, it is underestimated the impact that she had. You know, because some people, I don't think people understand how much is put into that, especially when you talk about somebody who you write it all, and you sing it, perform it, you orchestrate, produce. I mean, she did all that.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, as I see it right now, man, one of, like, Fire and Desire, man. That was like the first thing that popped in when I heard she died. The first thing that popped in my head was that song. Like, you know, that when her and Rick James performed it at the BET Awards, and then he passed, and then she passed. That's it, man. It ain't gonna be no more duets like that ever.
Yeah.
You know, that's song.
They don't really do like duets like talking about it. Where, and you know, we say duets, we talk about two people who can sing, that produce, I mean, just off the cuff originality, people who had like real talent, not
studio talent.
yeah, there's a difference between studio talent and people who can get on stage and light up the crowd. We know for all of his faults, Rick James could light up the crowd.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and Teen Marie also, because she's one of those few artists who could actually really sing. She didn't need her song playing in the background to sing over it. She just grabbed the mic and can go.
And captivate audiences, you know, just do a show and, you know, people will just walk out and say, damn, you know, that's something that they'll remember forever. Like, if you ever had a chance to see her, which I never had a chance to see her, but, you know, people that have seen Tina Marie perform have just said, yo, that was, like, one of the best shows they ever saw. So,
yeah, I didn't have the opportunity to see her live. I mean, the only time I saw her when she did sing live on different award shows, whatnot. And like I said, she is one of those individuals that didn't need her instrumental in the background. I mean, well, they played the instrumental, but she didn't need to sing over herself. She could just blow. And that's kind of rare nowadays. Now, we're gonna go back because I got one more Tina Marie song to play. It's actually my favorite Tina Marie song. Probably one of the little known songs that she sung. And so that's all I'm gonna say for right now. But it's one of those songs where she did just that. And I mean, it was one of them songs where she sung it from her heart because it was actually her song, singing to Rick James. So, if you know it, you know what song it is. I'm not gonna say until I actually announce it, but it's one of my favorite songs. And automatically, when, like you said, when you thought of Fire and Desire, her and Rick James, I actually thought of this song because this was her song to Rick James. A lot of people don't really know it, but I'm going to just leave it out there. If y'all know it, feel free to call me, 646-929-2037. Give me your guess. You in one of the chat rooms, you can try and guess it. You know, if you know it, I might even be nice enough to send you a t-shirt. I don't know. It's out there. I'm seeing if y'all know y'all stuff as far as Tina Marie go. But we going to get on that later. Actually, I wanted to get back because I started off, I know you heard about the fake internet rumors about Aretha Franklin.
Yeah, I heard about those also.
Whatnot. You know, and it's been one of those weeks where people, and I guess, tis the season. You know me. I've always said I do not like this time of the year because this time of the year, contrary to popular opinion, brings out the worst in people I see, not the best, as people claim it does. Like what happened in about the Air Jordans, people fighting over Air Jordans.
what was it, like two pair left?
it was in a mall, and the people were waiting on the shoe sale. You know, these shoes that are on sale for an ungodly amount, $130, $150 for a pair of Air Jordans, which I think is ridiculous. Now, you know, you and I are old enough to remember when them ungodly shoes came out in the first place, and people were getting killed when they first came out behind these shoes. So you think, what, 20 some odd years later, people would have learned their lesson. But people are still getting into fights over Air Jordans.
Yeah, and it kind of makes no sense, because, you know, it's the brand name, you know, and it's brand Jordan. It's just like, you know, there's so many other things you could do, or shoes you could wear, or things you could buy, you know, but it's marketing. It's that you have to have it. It's the demand for it. And that's what caused it. It all boils down to a sense of greed.
Yeah. I guess I'm not a fan of it. It happened all across the nation. It wasn't something that was just like one place. It was all over. Humble, Texas, and Humble Mall, Deerbrook Mall. The people are rushing in. There are 500 people lined up to get these shoes. I mean, I myself, I won't lie, I hated on the Bulls because I was a Pacer fan, but I hated on the shoes. I hated on the shoes even more because people were getting killed over $100 shoes. You know, yeah. I remember that summer, and I'm sure you remember too, but it was like gun clap after gun clap behind these red and black shoes.
Yeah.
And especially, we're not even talking about little kids. We're talking about grown folks that's out there. Grown folks in the middle of a recession, mind you. When people don't have a lot, and everybody's complaining about we don't have a lot, but all y'all are standing in line for a pair of $150 to $200 tennis shoes.
And some of the people, you know, they can barely pay their bills, you know. Like you said, we're
right.
In a recession. Everybody's struggling. You know, it's hard to make ends meet, but yet you'll find $150 for a pair of shoes.
Yeah.
You know, what is this world coming to? You know, you got new shoes, but you can't eat next week.
Exactly.
Where are our priorities?
Yeah, well, I mean, $150 for me, that's 4 or 5 pair of shoes. Because I go straight. Yeah, when I walk in, I need some more shoes. I'm going straight to the markdown bin.
Yeah.
And the shoes are always $29. $29 to $39. That's where I'm at.
Or you catch them on a sale somewhere, you know. You can get the $100 shoes, but, you know, I'll wait a year after they came out, and I get them when they're like $49, $59, you know, when I'm not having to pay, you know, twice the markup. Because in all respect, how much did it cost for them to make them shoes overseas?
Oh, about 12 cents.
If that.
About 12 cents.
So therefore, that's all profit. Anything they make off of two pair of shoes is all profit.
Right. Exactly. I don't get it. You know, I've never understood the $100 pair of shoes. I don't understand the $70 pair of shoes. I look at it like, no. No. I can't do it. I personally can't do it. And I'm sure there's people out there who can, but I'm not in that group. But
and there, and,
that's just
and too, there's also certain situations where you might need a pair of shoes in that, you know, in that capacity.
Right.
You know,
yeah,
but
I get the need.
Exactly.
But
pay $150 just to wear a pair of shoes, walk around with them once or twice, that ain't worth it.
Right. Not working at all. And speaking of not working, I got to go because I do have to talk about a hater here. I haven't really talked about haters for a minute. And I'm going to say that the haters are the people that aren't in love with themselves. A case in point, there's the governor of Mississippi, Haley Barbour. You know, they came out and said that he made some comments that may have damaged his potential 2012 bid for president. Mr. Barbour came out, and I got to tell you this, you know, we share. I got to tell you, Mr. Barbour came out and says, they were talking about growing up in Mississippi at the height of the civil rights movement in Mississippi. He said, I don't remember it as being that bad. You know, he's saying that in his hometown of Yazoo City, Mississippi, it wasn't at the flashpoint of racial tensions at the time, and it just wasn't that bad. Yeah. So, I mean, and he went on to credit the Citizens Council, you know, the White Citizens Council. We know what they stood for. And, you know, he said it wasn't that bad. And in his defense, I'm gonna go out there and defend him and say, yeah, it probably wasn't that bad for him.
Yeah, because he was on the inside looking out.
Yeah, he was. You know, for him, it was all good. I'm still living large. Wasn't nobody throwing rocks at him. Nobody wasn't shooting water hoses at him. So he wasn't really out of context. I mean, would it have been bad for him? I don't think people understand. I mean, yeah, he may have been being a little insensitive, but, you know, we say it wasn't bad for him. Wasn't bad for him at all.
And in what context did he make that statement? You know, how, like you said, yeah, it wasn't bad for him, only because, like I said, you know, he was on – you know, the side of, you know, he was on the better side of that whole, you know, that whole statement.
Yeah.
You know, he, like you said, he wasn't out there getting stones thrown at him, you know, water hoses sprayed at him. So, you know,
yeah,
when you're in the fire.
Right. Yeah, so why would it be bad for him? It was all good for him.
Yeah,
he probably had a clubhouse in the yard. You know, school.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah. He was able to go to school every day, and nobody messed with him. And yeah, like, you know.
Yeah, he probably didn't even have any black folks in his city. I mean, where he came from, Yazoo City. I don't know where that is. Not that I know anything about Mississippi, except that it's like in between Louisiana and Alabama. That's all I know. Other than that, I couldn't tell you nothing. I haven't really had any incentive to go there. Probably still don't. It's not on my list of places to go.
And it, what's the name of this place? It's called what?
Yazoo City.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I'm gonna guess Yazoo City was probably a picture of tranquility, a paradise.
Yeah.
All right. I just wanted to clarify that. You know, we put some perspective on things because people, maybe they don't have the proper perspective. And speaking of perspective, we gonna talk about some love again, because as I'm saying, love is in the air. We got put air out there into the cosmos. Giving a shout out to Miss Tina Marie, who has passed on, play another one of my favorite songs that nobody could guess, because you know me, I'm underground with it, even though it's one of her hardest songs ever, but I'm hardcore, so what can I say? This is Tina Marie, Casanova Brown.
together, you got to smooth drummer.
Welcome back to Smooth Drama. That was my favorite Tina Marie song right there. Casanova Brown. Like I said, she was blowing on that one.
And on that one, just imagine seeing her in the studio recording that song. I bet you she was just somewhere else, had her eyes closed, and she was just singing to the microphone on that one.
Right.
Feeling the music.
Yeah. I mean, I remember the first time I heard the song, and it's like it's one of them songs that just go through you. You know, I mean, because like you said, she's in another world singing this song. You know, that's not one of those songs where like you hear nowadays guys stop, sing a little bit. Add a little part, stop, and come back and add a little bit more. No, she went through that, and some. I mean, she put her heart and soul into that, and I mean that was what I loved about her. When she sung a song, she sung a song,
and sang it for all the right reasons.
Yes. Well. One of those things where we talk about singers who sing about love. And I know, I said some people think that that's mushy and love don't mean nothing. But for me, love is the hardest shit out there. I mean, if you singing about some love and you putting your heart and soul into it, and I ain't talking about that bullshit love. I'm talking about that just the love of it. You singing a song where you mean that shit, you feel that shit, and it shows when you sing it. I look at it like, in my experiences, it's sort of like when you're playing that game. I liken it like when I'm playing ball and I'm hot.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And when you know you can't miss, it doesn't even matter. I think that's that transcendent feeling when you put it out there. That's about the best I can go because I damn sure can't sing. And if I did,
yeah. So we'd be hurt.
Yeah, exactly. Folks crying like, damn, Dick, stop that shit. But we're going to move off of that. Go move into something relevant besides me singing. Microsoft Kinect is getting a little criticism. Because there's an adult entertainment company who are creating a 3D sex game, which is interactive. And what it is where your body is the controller. And what it does is you're moving your hand. And the system detects your movement, and so the hand on the screen moves too. So you'll be interacting with an animated character or a real person on camera. So basically, you know how you have these video games where people can connect with other users over the internet, whatnot?
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll be connecting on a whole nother level.
Yeah, that is to be continued.
Yeah, I mean that one's probably gonna be number one too.
Yeah.
Underground number one. I mean, you know, the whole webcam, can you make it happen thing is underground, but, you know, a lot of people do it. And so this game here, I mean, basically you connect and you can connect with anybody else who has the game, and y'all can interactively just be through, and I'm assuming that this Kinect system has a webcam also, so, I mean, it's going to be virtual sex.
Yeah. Yeah, that should go over pretty well.
Come into a video game near you. Well, hell, I mean, it's funny because the people are out there screaming and hollering about this, but shit, I remember when the game first came out where you can pull the spine out of a man and his body just slumps into a puddle of nothing.
Yeah.
I'm like, where was the outcry then? That's kind of...
You know, or some... Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, that's awful to me.
Yeah,
really awful.
Or the shoot 'em up games where, you know, you go through the whole game and the object is to kill, or better yet, what's the game where you go around and you're the thug and you beat everybody up, and you know that's the object of the game.
That auto whatever the hell that shit is.
Yeah,
I mean,
Grand Theft Auto.
I hate video games, and part of that is why. Part of that is why, you know, because it's some of that stuff. It highlights and glorifies shit that I don't think that should be highlighted or glorified. You know,
exactly.
I'm progressive, but in some ways, I think that shit is not cool, and I can't promote it. I mean, I won't try to suppress it, but I can't promote it at the same time because I think it's a bad move. It's not something that kids should be getting used to doing. Personally, the whole dying every other day is uncool to me. You know, sort of like what's happening. And I gotta say this real quick before I let you do your announcement. There's something going on over in Mali. There's Nigerian sex slaves that they're supposed to be a rescue. They know where all the sex slaves are. And, you know, the sex slaves is basically women who were coerced into, oh, yeah, we got a job for you. We got a job for you. Just come over here and you can work. And then once they get over into this other country, you're forced to be a sex slave, and some of the conditions they were saying, there were like 20 women. I mean, women would see like 20 guys in a day on the regular. And the travesty is they know where they are, but nobody's moving on it. And we're talking about over 20,000 Nigerian teenagers and women smuggled and forced into prostitution. Not a big story to folks because obviously I guess it's no big deal, but I'm going to take it that if there was 20,000 American women that this happened to, it would be a big story.
Oh, man, they'd have the Army, the Navy. Oh, man, they'd be rolling to get them, like, right now.
Right. Mali wouldn't exist any longer.
Exactly.
Oh, we're not going to go there. We're going to talk about happy stuff. I hear you have an announcement to make, sir. You tell me about your announcement.
Well, real quick, I just want to, you know, first off, wish everybody a happy new year because that time is fast approaching. Number two is that we're having it's a party. It's going down Wednesday night, tomorrow night, in San Diego, downtown at the Red Circle, which is 420 E Street, San Diego, California. It's the official birthday bash for San Diego's own DJ D-Rock. There's a lineup of some of San Diego's hottest DJs that are going to be there. So if you're free, if you're looking for something to do, if you don't got to get up and go to work or you just want to hang out, come down. Come down and see us. We're going to be there from 9 to 2. Once again, that's at the Red Circle, downtown San Diego.
All right. So, everybody, you got nothing to do? My man Black Steel got the spot for you. Party's all set up, and I can tell you from past experience, Tommy knows how to throw a party. And I know if Tommy's involved, I know if Black Steel's involved, you're going to be treated right. So if you're going to, you have nowhere to go this weekend, that's the spot to be. I can't think of a better place and a better group of people to hang out with. On that note, I want to thank everybody for listening. I want to thank my main man, Black Steel, for coming on and being the great co-host that he is.
And I just want to thank you for inviting me to come on and co-host with you.
Oh, man, come on now. You know, that was the easy one. Once again, I want to send our condolences out to the Brockhart family, which is actually Team Marie's real name. I want to send all the condolences out to that family. And send some love out to Tina Marie. You know, thank you for the beautiful music. And I hope you're in a better place now. On that note.
Yes.
Yeah. Dick Hugger, Smooth Drama, speaking for my main man Black Steel. We are out.
Peace.
Together you gotta be drummer.
That wasn't it. Nice job.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama. Together you got smooth drummer.